All right, so we are holding on Ayin Tesamud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, further on this whole topic of Yuchsin, Mishi Yotzehu Ve'ishtel Amdinas Yam. Suppose a person goes together with his wife to another country, to a distant country. Now, the Gemara is going to talk about the man we're talking about over here is a Kohen. And therefore, the question is going to be about the status of the children, whether they're Kohen and Yuchsin. The Rambam points out doesn't necessarily even have to be a Kohen. You could be talking the same thing as Yisrael, and the concern to find out whether the children are Miyuchasim. We learned the other day only Miyuchasim are appointed to the Sanhedrin. So we'll want to know that his children are considered to have Yichus in order that theoretically they could be eligible for the Sanhedrin. So he went with the Medina Siyam, Uvohu Ishta Yubanov. He comes back with his wife and with his children, Va'amar, and he said, Isha Shiyotu. He went with his wife to begin with. And now, Rashi learns that the case over here, the woman was already, had already previously been checked for Yuchsin. This is one of the circumstances, the case that we learned about in the Mishnah on Ayin Vav, where you have to check back four generations, eight maternal ancestors, 12, 16, whatever we talked about over there. So she's already been checked. So now, when he comes back and says, this is the same woman, that the Eilu Boneha, Harehizu, this is the same woman, the Eilu Boneha, and these are his children, and these are her children, in Sarach Lavi Raya, Loyal Eishav, Loyal Abonim. So he doesn't have to bring any proof about the wife or about the children. We can assume that the wife is taka the same wife, and even though it may be 50 years later and nobody recognizes her anymore, And the children, we can assume also, as the Gemara will say, we're talking about small children, so they're very attached to her, as little children are to their mother. Therefore, we can assume that they really are her children.
That
we had the Machlokes or Behoda and the Chachamim yesterday. We're not getting into that right now. Now Tosfos learns differently. That of course, if her yichus had already previously been checked out, why would we think he has to bring a raya? But therefore, no. Tosfos learns like this: when we say, fine, but even so, I mean, fine, but nivdekis. Besides, the mission is not distinguishing between whether it was a short time later or a long time later. Why would we assume? What would be the chiddush to say that once she had previously been checked, that you should have to check all over again? When he married her, remember.
Obviously, she has to be checked. But during the time of his absence, she would have
gone. No. They went together. He went with her to Medina Siyam. Now they're coming. She went with him to Medina Siyam. Now they came back with children. He's saying, you should know this is the same woman that I left. This is the same wife that I left. So Tosfos is saying, what's the chiddush? You don't have to check her, of course. So Yichus was already previously checked. So therefore, Tosfos explains that what it means is we don't have to be concerned that, for example, what if he divorced her in Minnesotayam, she married somebody else, now they're just traveling together. Okay, they're not husband and wife anymore. They're ex-husband and ex-wife, and she has children, but maybe the children are from another man. No, we don't have to worry about that. Okay. Next. Mesa Ve'eva Bameha, what if the husband comes back and says, my wife died in Medina Siyam, however, these children that I'm bringing with her are hers, maybe Raya Ala Bonim, then he will have to bring a Raya that these are her children, and maybe Raya Ala Isha, but he doesn't have to bring proof on the Isha, because again, she was already Miyuchesed. So once we establish that these children are taka from her, let's say, for example, there are Edim that say that they were her children, they saw that they were karuch achareha, that they were attached to her, as the Gemara is going to say, then already that's good enough, because we know that she was a traitor. She was already checked again. She's a miyuchet. It doesn't matter what country we're talking in. Yeah. Third case.
This is the continuation
So you have two cases so far. One is that the woman had already previously been checked out, according to Rashi. Now he comes back. So first case is that he comes back with her saying this is still the same woman and these are her children. So you don't need a raya on either one. You don't need a raya on her because she was checked. You don't need a raya on the children because we're going to see they're attached to her. Now the second case is he says the wife that I took with me has died in Medina Siyam. However, these are her children. So you need a raya that they're her children, but once you have that, then you're good.
That's when he comes back.
It doesn't matter what country he started out in. Next, third case, Isha Nasasi Medina Siyam. What if he did not go with his wife? He went out, he left the country single. He comes back and says, I married a woman in a minisayam. This is she, this is my wife, and these are her children. Then maybe, and these are her, no, well, meaning these are my children from her. Then, so maybe Raya Lisha, then he needs to bring proof on the wife that she's miyuchetzis. He doesn't have to bring a proof on the children, because again, because they're attached to her. What happens in the fourth case if he says that I married a wife from Medinat Yam and she died there, still in Medinat Yam, but here are her children? Then he has to bring proof on the woman that she was a ksheira and on the children that they really are her children.
And the previous case,
Asasi Vemirina Sayyam. So you have to bring a raya on the woman, not on the children, because, again, once he brings a raya that she's a miyuchetet, then if the children are kruchim achareha, then we're good.
And the case afterwards,
he says she died. So she's not coming back with her. So there's no kruchim achareha.
That's why we need separate proofs.
Yeah, exactly. Tosfos deals a little bit with the details of this. For example, that in the first two cases where he says this is the isha. So once you have a raya that the children are hers, or in the first case you don't even need that, then you can assume it's the same isha. We don't have to assume that maybe he married another wife while he was there, and these children are kruchim acharei, because after all she's their second mother, so to speak, and therefore no, we don't have to worry about it.
How would you see that they're kruchim acharei?
Because you see, they're like little children that they're always sticking to her and then close to her and whatever, you know. Children are like that. So the Gemara says, The Gemara says, Amar Rav Bar Rabbona, behold, the Kruchim Acharei. In all these cases in the Mishnah, whenever it says you don't have to bring a raya on the children, it means that they're attached to her. You can see that there's a mother-child relationship there. Which that's the point. I mean, you know, the point is the Gemara is going to say in a minute that if he says he married two wives, then kruchim acharei is not such a good thing, because it's not such a good proof. Because again, when a man has two wives, yes, of course, there's one of them is the mother of these children and the other one is not, but nevertheless, they tend to be fairly close to both of them also, because after all, both of them do live in the same household. So that's the next piece. Tanan Rabbanan. Isha nasasim in Medinat Yam. If the man says, I married a wife in Medinat Yam, so maybe Raya al Isha, then he has to bring a proof on the woman that she's a miyuchetes. Ve'en sarach lahavi Raya al Abonim, and he does not have to bring any proof on the children. Or maybe Raya al Gdolim, ve'en sarach lahavi Raya al Ktanim. He only has to bring a proof on the older children. He does not have to bring a proof on the younger children. Because kruchim acharei. Why? Because the older children are not kruchim acharei. Right. They're not so attached to their mother. Yeah. So, when is all this talking about if it's only one wife? He says, I married one wife. But if he says, for example, I married two wives, one of them died, and these are her children, and then here's my other wife, then maybe then he has to bring proof on the wife and on all the children, both the older and the younger ones, because again, even if kruchim acharei, fine, you know, she became their stepmother, she's raising them, therefore they may be kruchim acharei without them being her biological children. All this that we're talking about, that if kruchim acharei, that again, if these children are attached to her, that's good enough evidence, and therefore we can consider, again, in the case where he's a kohen, that she's not a grusha or chalutza or other psulik kohuna or whatever, if he's Yisrael, that she's a miyuchetes. All of this, well, primarily we're going to be talking about as far as kohen. So all this is only talking ela b'kodesh ha'gvul. Only what it accomplishes is that if he's a kohen, these children will be allowed to eat kodshei agvul. Kodshei agvul means kodshim that can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, namely truma. Truma and the things that are related to truma, such as chava. Because gvul means the whole borders of Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to, we know there are kodshim that can only be eaten in the Bis Mikdash, like the pieces of the chata, something like that go to the kohenim. There are some that can be eaten in all Yerushalayim, like pieces of the shlomim, like the Pesach and so forth. And then there are ones that can be eaten in all of Eretz Yisrael. Truma, chala,
they're called
kodshei gvul. And again, remember, I mean, there are a bunch of matnas kahuna that can be had anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but most of them are not really an issue because, for example, I mean, yeah, you have let's say, for example, the mitzvah of zroy l'chayayim b'keva. You're supposed to give certain parts of a cholin animal to a kohen. But those, it's not that only kohenim can eat them. Once they're given to the kohen, anybody can eat them. So therefore, of course, you don't need these children to be kohenim, even if they're halalim, even if they're full-fledged Israelis, they need them. Kodshei Agvul, therefore, specifically means truma and the other things that are like truma, trumas meiser, challah, all the ones in that category.
Not animals.
Not, for example, zroi l'chayayim b'keva, which is not relevant, because anybody can eat them. So this, that we're saying that kruchim is good enough, is only helps as far as kodshei Agvul, only as far as truma. But to say that these children are miyuchas, in the sense Rashi says that, let's say there are daughters among them, to say that these daughters can marry a kohen, no, you need actual proof. You can't just have kruchim acharei. You need real full-fledged proof that they are her children, and therefore that they're not halalis or whatever.
Genealogy.
Yeah, Adim, whatever, yeah. Tosfos discusses this a little bit, because we learned back in Ksubas that all you need is a person needs to say, this son of mine is a kohen, and it's good enough to eat truma. Doesn't matter whether kruchim acharei or not. So what is our Gemara saying that you need kruchim acharei? So therefore, Tosfos gives a couple of answers. First of all, okay, we quoted over there a Braisa, but fine, Rav is a Tana, you can argue with a Braisa. We're saying over here, we said over there in the Gemara, Rav had said that Ha'omer B'niz have a Kohen Hu. So Rav, as a Tana, he can argue with the Braisa that we're quoting over here. That's first of all.
He
can disagree with this Braisa. Second of all, Tosfos discusses that there can be a machloikus. We had a machloikus, we had it in Ksubas, we've had it one or two times since then, about the question, if you see somebody eating truma, can you assume that he's a miyuchas? So therefore, that could be the machloikus, basically. When we talk about over here, if he's eating truma, will that be enough to consider him a miyuchas?
We learned
two possibilities. Maybe yes, maybe not. We had a lot of discussion about it, indeed. Anyway, therefore, Tosfos ends up explaining that what our Gemara means is a little different. Loy Shonar al Bekodshag Vul does include, for example, that when we say Loy Shonar Bekodshag Vul al Beyuchsin Loy, so again, Rashi said it means he can eat Truma, but she, if it's a girl, can't be considered a Miyuchas to marry a Kohen. Tosfos learns differently. Loy Shonar al Bekodshag Vul means not only he can eat Truma, even once he's eating Truma, we can assume he's a Kohen Miyuchas, because if we go according to the opinion, Mylan Maturim al Beyuchsin. When it says Abu Yuchsin Loi, Tosfos says, means we do not for sure consider that these children are the children of this mother in the sense that they would be considered related as far as Chiyur and Mitzah, as far as Arai. As the Gemara will say soon, that sometimes you can rely on Chazaka for that. What we would be saying,
so
according to Rish Lakish, is that in this case you would say Yuchsin would be not Arai. Yes.
According to Rashi, why?
Because halal is marrying a kohen is an isulav. No, but again, kruchim is strong enough to say that. But because by yuchsin, my law is to be yuchsin. Rish Lakish holds when it comes to yuchsin, we want to have a higher standard. Again, according to Tosfos, not. But according to Rashi's explanation, we want to have Myla also be yuchsin. To say that she's a miyuchesed to the extent that she can marry a kohen. Right, exactly.
Between
truma and yuchsin, exactly. Tosfos says that yuchsin over here means a
riot.
Yeah.
Rashi.
Whereas Rashi is making that distinction. So Rashi would say,
what's not?
That's the thing. Rashi says Abu Yuchsin Loi means we have to be choshes. She might be a halala or mamzeret or what have you. That she might not really be the daughter of this woman. That her mother may really be a grusha, for example. Therefore, we need actual evidence of in order to marry a kohen. No, because when he left, we know who he was. He didn't just walk in from me. Because again, that's the thing. As far as truma, we can accept that kruchim heim is good enough and gives us enough of a chazaka. Yeah, we can assume that. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that no, even when it comes to Yochanan, we can accept that the Kruch and Acharei is good enough to assume that this girl is not a Chalala, or according to Tosfos, to actually assume that this girl really is the daughter of these two people, of this father and this mother.
So according to Rabbi Yochanan, you would say, regardless, because you have all the
Yochanan, it's all good, yeah. The Azir of Yechanan the time, and in fact of Yechanan goes according to his Svara, the Amr of Chiyah Ba'ab Amr of Yechanan, Malkin al Chazakas, we can give Malkus based on, we can use a Chazaka as evidence to give Malkus, so even if you don't have Aedus, as we'll see in a second, an example of that, and Sofin, the Sofin al Chazakas, we can also give Stila or Strafa based on Chazaka. The Ein Sofin Truma al Chazakas, however, wait, no. Hold on. No. We're not talking about whether the person did the Aveira. Obviously, for that, you need Aedim. We're talking about to establish that there is an Isser here in the first place. To establish that these two people are father and daughter, or mother and son, let's say. Or to establish that a woman is a nigger. For that kind of thing, Rabbi Yechanan is saying you can use a chazak. Then, of course, to in order to actually punish a person for it, you need Aedim that he actually did it. Yeah.
Just to establish
the fact, yeah.
Then what do you need?
Then you need a chazaka, he's saying. However, he says, the ain serpent truma ala chazaka. However, we do not burn truma when there's only a chazaka to say that it was tame, as we'll see the example later. What do I mean, malkin ala chazaka is Rabbi Yehuda? It's like what Rabbi Yehuda says, the Amr of Yehuda. Huchzika nida b'shcheneseya. Suppose that a woman has a chazaka among her neighbors that she is a nida. Meaning, for example, Rashi explains, now it seems to be, it was common in those days that women wore different clothes when they were nida. And we learned, we talked briefly about Sobas, that the husband buys her new clothes and eventually they wear out and she wears them when she's nida. We learned someplace or other, a Gemara that says that originally the idea was that women are supposed to not dress attractively and not wear makeup, etc., while they're nida, so her husband's not attracted to her until the later Chachamim explained that, no, Rabbi Akiva explained that she is allowed to. Anyway, the point is that there's a chazaka among the neighbors. They see her wearing these big nidas. That's enough to establish that she's a nida, and therefore, by la loika ala mishum nida. If at that point her husband were to have relations with her, he could get malchus for having relations with a nida, even though there's no actual edus that she's a nida. So again, you'll need edus. Yeah, the chazaka establishes that she's a nida. Of course, you need edim that he was actually bald. Oh, fine, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about that you established that she was a nida. Yeah.
If he transgresses, yeah. Then you need two
yeah.
edim.
Interesting thing that the Torah talks about, and then a number of Achronim discuss the pros and cons of another way in which a woman can be considered a nida also, namely, she doesn't even have to wear big day nidas. If she tells her husband, Tmeyani, that's enough. And the difference is that when she says Tmeyani, she may just afterwards, she may give what's called an amasla, an excuse. The only reason I said, we talked about this, I think, in Ksubis. The only reason I said Tmeyani is because, for example, your relatives are around, and I figured if you're going to ask me to have relations, I'm embarrassed too with my relatives around, they're going to hear us, and therefore I said Tmeyani to get you to
believe,
and therefore we would believe her on that. Mashenkin, if she went as far as wearing big nidus, then we don't say that. Then no amasla is possible. To go that far, to actually wear big nidus, she wouldn't do that unless it was really
true. Real.
Yeah. So that's what we mean, Malkin al-Chazak. Next, Sofin the Sofin al-Chazak. What do we mean that we can give Stila and Srefa based on a Chazak? Kidder Rav Barabona is like what Rav Barabona says. Do Amar Rav Barabona. Ish v'isha tinik v'tinokas shek yulub v'secha bayis. Suppose you have a family growing up together in the house, a man, a woman, a boy, and a girl. So there's a Chazak that she's his wife, and these are their children. Niskolin al-Zev and Nisrat. If later on the man ends up having relations with the girl, where by assumption it's father and daughter, then there'll be Srefa involved. If the mother and the son, there'll be Skila involved. So therefore we see that Skila and Srefa can be given based on a chazaka that this is the father and this is his daughter, this is the mother and this is her son.
What's the connection to
that? That's the point. In other words, so Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan is saying that the chazaka, that these children are this mother's because of Kruchim Acharel, that creates a chazaka. We see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Sofin v'Sofin ala Chazaka. We see a Chazaka is strong enough to give Skiva and Sefer. So according to Rashi, the point of it is, since we see it's strong enough for that, surely it's strong enough for Yochsin to say that again, that daughter over here is not a Chalala and can marry a Kohen. According to Tosfos, it's not even how much more so, it's exactly the same thing. Remember, Tosfos explained that Yochsin means Araya. Well, very well. Rabbi Yochanan is saying afilu b'yuchdin. You can use this kruchim acharea to say these are the sons of this mother. Well, very well. That's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. You see a mother and son growing up together in a house, and then later on he's mezana with her. You can assume that they're mother and son, and give them skill on that basis.
As opposed to if we were to say
that the chazaka is not enough to establish that, then we wouldn't know who says they're mother and son. Maybe they're two unrelated people.
Like who? Who says that?
No, that's again, Rish Lakish has said Alva B'yuchsin Loi, and Tosfos explained that Alva B'yuchsin Loi means not as far as Arai. Kruchim Acharea is not strong enough to establish that these are her children. And therefore,
no,
so therefore there'd be no Chazaka. Where's the coincidence of Yechanan? There is. And Amar Rav Shimon Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara, an actual case about this. Ma'aseh be'isha achas shebasa Yerushalayim. It happened once that a woman came to Yerushalayim. She moved there from someplace else. V'tinet murkav la'oksefa. She was carrying a child, a little boy on her shoulders. V'higdi later, and she raised him. So there's a chazak, creates a chazaka that they were mother and son. Uvalah. Later on, he was mezana with her. V'evium le'beis din mesaklam. And they brought them to beis din and gave him skilla. So not because he's for sure her son, because we never had any edus that he's actually her son. Because he was karo chacharel, growing up, he was attached to her like a child, like a son is to his mother. Therefore, that gives us a strong chazaka to say that, yes, he was her son.
Without edim?
Without edim. So again, you need edus for the actual znus, but you don't need edus for the actual, you don't need edus for the relationship. Right.
So they were aiding for
the znus. Obviously, there had to be. There had to be aiding after all. The full thing. Yeah.
But not for the...
Right.
Yeah.
So actually, you know what? There is a whole sugya in Cholin where the Gemara points out over there a basis for where we see that minatoda chazaka like that is a strong thing. One thing the Gemara points out is, for example, you have the Torah tells us that if the Torah tells us as a person, doesn't matter a man or a woman, hits or curses his parents, his father or his mother, he's chayav misa. Now imagine, his mother, fine, you can argue, you know, he was born from her, you know, everybody will know. It's clear that she's his mother. But the father, you never know for sure. Maybe after all, she had relations with somebody else. It's all based on a chazaka. And we see the chazaka is strong enough to give him misa. So we see that the Torah is able to rely, so we see that we're able to rely on chazaka from Dinei Torah. Okay. Now, when we said ve'ein sof in truma l'chazakas, now we said though Rabbi Yochanan continued that you cannot burn truma based on a chazaka. Now,
but
what is this?
Also to Ben Sim's question about the edim.
What about?
No,
that's the point. There's no edim. That this is her son. Yes.
No, there has to be edim.
There's edim on the beer. We're not talking about that.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. We're talking about the difference between establishing what the facts are, the facts on the ground over here, that this is the mother and this is the son, for that chazaka is enough.
Right.
Afterwards, to establish that an aveira was done, yeah, that you need aiding.
Okay.
We said the ain surf and truma ala chazakas. We said that you don't burn truma if it's based on only a chazaka that it became tame. How is that? We have like this, a machlokas. The Amr of Shimon Lakish, we find a machlokas, that Rish Lakish the Sofin al Chazakas, that you do actually burn Truma, even where it's only based on a Chazaka that it became Tameh, as the case which we're going to sort of discuss in a minute. Rabbi Yechonam ain't Sofin al Chazakas, ain't Sofin, that you don't burn it based on that. You only consider it toilin. You consider it in a suspended state. You don't know for sure whether it's Tameh or Tameh. But as do the Taimayo. And in fact, they're going according to their Shitta. We learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Taharos as follows. Tinik shenimtza b'tzada isa. Suppose you find a little child next to some dough, next to a kneading bowl or whatever full of dough. Ubatzik b'yodeh, and some dough is in his hand. Now Rashi learns the problem is like this. The problem is we have to assume the child himself took from the dough. Now, the question becomes, is the child Tomei or not? So we're going to see. There's a certain chazaka that he's Tomei because of the way children play around. Tosfos has a whole different explanation of it. Tosfos says that the suffix is not actually whether the child took from the dough. Rashi is saying it's a vadai that the child took from the dough because he's holding dough in his hand. The suffix is whether he's Tomei or not. Tosfos learns the other way around. It's a vadai that the child is Tomei. Why is it a vada that he's Tomei? Rashi Tosfos says, based on a braisa, that never. We're going to get into the matter of shrotim in a minute. That's the children play with dead shrotim, etc. Tosfos says, never mind that. We know that if a nidah touches a person and that person becomes tameh, a child, women who are nidah, his own mother when she's a nidah, his aunt, his cousins, whatever, commonly hug him and kiss him and pick him up and whatever without caring whether they're nidah or not. So therefore, as a matter of course, he becomes tameh anyway. So that he's tameh is a given. Whether he took from the dough, maybe, maybe not. Maybe somebody else took a piece of the dough and gave it to him.
What does Rashi answer to that?
Rashi would answer that, I think the Pnei Yeshua talks about that we could be talking about, for example, I mean, the Mishnah is telling us generically. So not necessarily is the child Tommy from Nidah touching him. What if they didn't? What if he went to the mikveh a little while ago? But whatever, the point still remains. You still have the other matter that we're going to get into that he may have touched Shrutin. So, Rav Meir Matar, Rav Chachamim Matamin. Rav Meir says that the dough is still considered tahor. The Chachamim say it's considered tameh, because it's normal for a child to be metapeach. Now Rashi says metapeach means touching. Rashi says it means children tend to play in the garbage, and you know, this is before they had Legos and Nintendo and whatever, you know, you have to entertain yourself somehow. The children commonly play in the garbage. You often have things like dead shrotim and nebelos in there. So therefore, the child may well have touched that. So, Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that metapeach means to touch the dough. Again, Tosfos is saying not necessarily did the child touch the dough. Maybe somebody else took off a piece and gave it to him. But daifreshal tinok metapeach, it's normal for a child to play around with the dough. He sees a whole bowl of dough over there, he's going to get his fingers out.
A child.
Three, four. I don't know, not necessarily. Maybe even a little, maybe even older. I don't know. Now, Vahavinan Bad. Now, so this is a Mishnah in Taurus. The Gemara discusses it in a few places in Shas. In particular, the Gemara has a sugya about it in Chulin. We also discussed it. We also had a discussion about it in Yevamos. Vahavinan Bad. So over there in Chulin, the Gemara discusses my time is at a mayor. Fine, the Chachamim, we understand why they say it's Tomer. Dafka Shaltinu Kasapeh. Why does a mayor say it's Tomer? Because Kasapeh, he figures like this. It's true that most children play around. Again, play around with shirotim according to Rashi, play around with the dough according to Tosfos. However, umiyot ein metapkin, but there is a miyot of children who don't. The isa b'cheskas tara emetis. Furthermore, the dough
is itself after the row.
Wait. The isa b'cheskas tara emetis. Furthermore, the dough itself has a chazakah of being tar. Now, this is different. Yesterday, we talked about the cases where the chazakah no longer exists. We would see that the status has changed. We found that the mikveh is less than 40 so. We found that the barrel of wine is vinegar, etc. We found that the girl is a begeris, which was the original case we talked about. Here, we don't know for sure. There's no red flag on the dough that says it's tamei. So it still has a chazaka of being tar. So now, putting it all together, so therefore, when you combine together the miut, the fact that there is that minority of children who aren't metapeach, together with the fact that the dough has a chazakah of being tahar, itrelei ruba, so that destroys the roiv, that undoes the roiv. In other words, we don't have to worry so much about the roiv anymore. We can consider at least, at best, it could be a 50-50 situation. And actually, since he's saying metaharim, then he would say it's even beyond 50-50. We can still leave the dough in its chazakah of being tahar.
Probably not more than 5%. The miut is not more than
5%. Maybe not, but whatever. The point is, again, since we have a chazakah, and furthermore, Rashi, the chazakah of the dough was tahor, and we have no solid reason to think that it's tamei. We have a miut of children, and Rashi points out that the mayor chayish miut. We learned about this in Yevamos. That Rav Meir always takes into consideration the minority. We learned about it in connection with, for example, the dinim of can a boy and girl below bar bat mitzvah do chalitza or yibum. Rav Meir is concerned about what about if one of them turns out, can they do yibum? Rav Meir is concerned about the possibility, what if the boy turns out to be a swiss or the girl turns out to be an ilonis, and therefore the yibum will have been no good. So he's chayish lemiyote. He's always concerned about the miyot. Well, over here, being concerned about the miyot works for the good. A miyot of children aren't metapeach. So again, combining that with the chazakah on the dough, you're good.
The only problem that it doesn't make any statistical sense because it goes by you multiply the likelihood. You
no, but it's not just multiplying the likelihood. Rashi points out a little later in the sugya. There's two kinds of roiv. There's something called Ruba de Isse Kamon and Ruba de Lefe Kamon. Ruba de Isse Kamon means we have in front of us a roiv and a miut. We actually have all of the facts or all of the objects or whatever in front of us, and we can count how many there are of one and how many there are of the other. That's going to be the next case that we're going to talk about. This case is called Ruba de Lefe Kamon. True, we know that most children tend to play around. But we don't have a roiv of children right now in front of us who are playing around with a do, a shrotin, and a mi or two do. We're basing it on our previous observation. This is called ruba de lefe kamon. There's no roiv in front of us that of this child being one of the of being among the ones who are metapea. Therefore, that's a weaker kind of roiv. Therefore, the miut against it plus the chazaka of the do are enough to cancel out that ruba de lefe kamon. Whereas again, if it was a ruba de isse kamon, if we had,
so you have two likelihood of being tolerant.
That's what Reb Meir is saying. That is why Reb Meir is saying that's good. Where's Rabbanon? Where's Rabbanon argue back on that? They say miurta command the lesser dummy. They say no, ignore the miurta altogether. We don't consider the miurta to have any significance. Therefore, ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. And therefore, if you have a roiv of children who do play around with
regardless
the dough, regardless whether it's ruba the isse kamon or the lesser kamon, against the chazaka of the dough, ruba adif, then the roiv is a stronger thing.
It's more logical.
Okay.
It's much more logical.
Fine, but Reb Meir has his logic also, but whatever. The point is, thus far the Mishnah. Now let's get back to the machlokas of Rish Lakish and Reb Yechanan.
I'll say that the likelihood of a mute is more likely than the rav.
No, but we're not. Again, but you have also the chazaka. Don't forget, there's also the chazaka of the dough.
With the likelihood of the rav.
That is what the Chachamim are saying. Ignore the miut. All you have is roiv against the chazaka. Reb Meir is saying you have roiv on one side, miut and chazaka on the other, and therefore those balance out the roiv. But according to Reb Meir, they do, especially because it's ruba de lefe kamon. It's a weak kind of roiv.
Adding the numbers, they
it's not a matter of adding. It's a matter of halacha. Statistics in halacha don't always follow statistics like you learn them in college. You know, come on. Okay.
So the statistics work for Rabbanan
because the Rabbanan are ignoring the miut. The mayor is considering the mayor. The Gemara tells us an Eruv, for example. He was very, very sharp. So yeah, they couldn't even yod. They couldn't even understand what he. They couldn't even always understand what he. Why he's saying what he says? Yeah. Hey, fine. Okay. So thus far, the Mishnah and the original discussion on it. Now. On that, Amr Rish Lakish Mishum Rav Oshia. So Rish Lakish says in the name of Rav Oshia, Zui Shesokan Aleha Satruma. This is the kind of chazaka where you can burn truma based on it. Again, since the Chachamim are metamin, then it means that what are we saying? Again, the children have a chazaka of the tapeach to play around with shrotim and therefore their tame, or to play around with the dough, the tenoitis. They have a chazaka of touching shrotim, and we know they touch the dough with a pointed ashi, or according to Tosfos, they have a chazaka of being picked up by women who are nida, and generally speaking, the dough in their hands will be from them. So therefore, that is the kind of thing, that is the kind of chazaka that you would burn truma for. And on the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Zu Chazaka Shesokan Aleha Truma. Rabbi Yochanan says that no, that is not the kind of chazaka that you would burn truma for. Even the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, when they say metamin, they don't mean completely tame in the sense 100% for sure tame burn it. They just mean toilet. They just mean you leave it at a suspended state. You don't burn it, but you don't eat it either. If it's dough, you let it rot, basically, or in the case, for example, if it's dough, you can leave it till Pesach and then burn it with chametz. Ella is the chazaka of Rabbi Yochanan Shesokan Aleha Truma. So what is the kind of chazaka that would be strong enough, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, to actually burn truma for it? That would be as follows. This is like another Mishnah. This is like another Mishnah that's also discussed in because we're going to see there's another Mishnah that says Tmeya, and we burn it. So what is that? Kedushan. We learn in a Mishnah. Isa b'secha bayis. If you have some dough in the house, u'shrotim u'tzfardim u'taplin sham, and you have both shrotim, like for example mice or rats or whatever, shmona shrotim. In particular, what? Shmona shrotim. Yeah. In particular, Rashi points out. Well, wait. Okay. So you have shrotim u'tzfardim. Yeah. Of course, they're right. There's no such thing as shrotim d'rabbanan. Okay. Shrotim or Tzfardim. Now, Tzfardim means frogs. Among the Shmona Shrotim, one of the ones on the list is Hatsav. And Rashi explains over there, Rashi on the Pasuk, explains over there to translate it with a word, with a French word, and then he adds Shadoimel Tzfardeya. It looks similar to a frog, so maybe a toad, whatever it is. The point is, Rashi, yeah, of course, that's what Rashi spoke. But yeah. So therefore, in other words, the point is, so you have a sheret and a tzfardeya that are very, very similar in appearance, whether they're a frog and a toad, whatever it is exactly, they're two very closely related creatures, but one of them is metame, one of them, even a lentil-sized piece, a kadasha-sized piece, will be metame minatera, the other one is not metame at all. So you have all these creatures, metaplin sham, are all playing around over there. And actually, because Rashi said metaplin sham, Rashi actually says, means they're losing chunks of their bodies as they jump around. So like chunks of flesh are falling off them.
So, Sardim,
and I don't know. Whatever. So, the nimsu chatiches v'ita, and you actually find pieces of these creatures on the dough. Yes, it is fairly disgusting. I know, it kind of turned my stomach when I was loading this Gemara, but, you know, it is what it is, you know. You still got to know the halacha, yeah. No, practically speaking, anybody who eats this dough afterwards would be out of their mind, but, you know, we're not getting into that. So then it depends. If most of the creatures in this room are shrotim, such as frogs, then the Ido will be tummy. Or the other way around, if the frogs are the ones that are tummy, the toads are the ones that are tummy, let's say. So if most of them are toads, then it's tummy. Imroiv tzfardim to her. And if most of them are frogs, then it's tummy. So the key thing is, unlike the case of the child with the dough, this one is Ruba de Ise Taman, because we have all the creatures in the room with us. And in theory, we could track them all and take a census, how many Shrotim there are, how many Tzardim there are. Therefore, not even in theory, we're saying in Rove Shrotim or Rove Tzardim. So therefore, yes, you look which one there are more of, and you go accordingly. Because it's Ruba de Ise Taman. We know that we know that there's a majority over here. And we actually, not only that, we know that one or the other of these types of creatures touch the dough, because we actually find chunks of them on it. As opposed to, again, the case with the child and the dough. Again, according to Rashi, fine, the child for sure touched the dough. It's a suffix whether he was tummy, whether he played the shrotim beforehand. According to Tosfos, the other way around, it's a klal suffix whether the child even touched the dough. Maybe somebody else took off a piece and handed it to him. So therefore, that's the kind of thing where we have a ruba de isse kamon, and we have actual evidence that one or the other of these types of creatures touched it. Then we go according to the roiv, and if roiv are on our shrotzim, if most roiv are on our toads, then that's where Rabbi Yochanan would say for sure in that case you broke it. There's no toilet involved with it. Something worth
it.
Because again, if you had mostly tzardim, then it would be tzardim. We would assume that the chunks you find are from tzardim, and tzardim are not tzardim. If most of them are shrotim, you have to assume that the chunks are from the shrotim.
Never.
Why? Because they're only the eight shrotim. Only the eight shrotim that are listed in the pasuk that are metamic.
Sure, there's such things that are tummy.
Doesn't matter. Living creatures can't become tummy. Even over here, that's the thing. We're not talking about, for example, if live toads or frogs touch the dough. That's neither here nor there, because they're not going to be metamic as long as they're alive. That's why we have to be talking about the chunks are falling off them. The chunks of flesh that fall off them are metame, as long as any of them is the size of a lentil. Or as long as any of them is a complete aver, whatever, yeah.
That's not lying.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, by the way, the Gemara tells us in Sochem a story that one time Shlomtzi and Hamalka, Yana and Melech's widow, where there was one time making a party. I think it was Shlomtzi, maybe it was one of the other kings, I think it was Akiripas, whatever. It was one of the kings or queens in the times of Bais Sheni was making a whole party, and all of a sudden they found a dead lizard in the kitchen. They have a real problem. Everything's tummy. They called Ram Gamliel. The king called for the queen. The queen called for Ram Gamliel. Ram Gamliel said, pour some cold water on it. And it revived and crawled away. They realized that it only looked dead because of the heat in the kitchen. It was hibernating from the heat. So therefore, that saves everything, because when it was alive, it's not metame anything.
Even the fact that it passed away for 2 seconds?
No, it didn't pass away, that's the thing. It was only hibernating. It doesn't matter, it wasn't dead. Tanya Kavaseh de Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so we learn a braisa that agrees with what Rabbi Yochanan says. That he said in the case of the child that we don't say the truma is for sure tame, rather we say turban. We say that we put it in suspended state. So a braisa says similarly. Shnei dvarim ein bam das lishol. There are two cases. Now, normally, when usually we say, we talked yesterday briefly about the idea. We talked about more at more length about it in Nazir about the idea that usually when you have a sopik tumah, it depends whether it's in rishos yachid or rishos rabbi. If it's in rishos yachid, we say tome. Rishos rabbi, we say tahor. We talked yesterday and we talked previously that we learned it from the tansis of soita. So. Usually we say, we learned about this in Nazir as well, usually there's another distinction also that factors into this. Is this thing, that is the thing or the person about which you have a suffix, do they have das to be asked? So there'd be a difference. For example, is the suffix trauma on an inanimate object, or is it on a person? If it's on a person, is it a child who doesn't have das to be asked what's the story over here, or is it an adult or an older child who does? Again, we learn that from Sota, because the Sota, again, Yeshba Dasri Shal. You could ask her whether she was Mizana with this guy. Now, granted, if she says no, we don't believe her, but still, she does have the ability to be asked about it.
What's the difference between her and a child?
The difference is a child, a little child, 2-3-year-old kid, it doesn't have das to be asked.
But we can't get the answer anyway.
With her, if she gives the answer Nitmesi, that's it. She's also to her husband. With the child, he doesn't know what to say. So therefore, ein by das leishol, then we say that even in a shusha yachid, we would say tzveke tachar. However, this braisa says, there are two cases, even though ein bam das leishol, even though the person or the object in this case does not have das, ba'asom chachamim kimashi yeshbam das leishol. The chachamim nevertheless treat them as if they do have such das. And therefore we'll apply the usual rules of a shusha yachid versus a shusha rabbin.
Just to protect that.
One is the case of the tinnik and another one. Okay, again, because in the case of the tinnik, you have a very strong reason, according to the chamim, to say that there really is tumah over here. Tinnik called damoron, so the tinnik is the case that we said. So that's the point. This braisa agrees with Rav Yechonah on that. In this case, we consider it, it's a suffix. Now, again, when we say birshus yachad sveke tummy, it doesn't mean we burn it, it only means toilet. So that's one.
But we were asking which ones do we burn on a suffix.
No, that we just dealt with. Now we're getting back to when Rabbi Yochanan had said that in the case of a child and the dough, we don't burn it, we're only toiling. This braisa agrees with him. Because this braisa says we treat it like a suffix tumah versus a yachid. And in that case, yeah. But oida cheres maihi, what is the other one that we say that we apply the same rule? It's like this. Okay, is another case of dough, is for the sech habayis, you have some dough in the house, you have over there, there are chickens, and there are liquids that are tamei. The nimsu nikurim ve'isa. Later on, the tanagolim are alive. The tanagolim in and of themselves are not tamei. Again, because they're living creatures. The problem is that they can drink from the mashkin. They can drink from these liquids that are tamei and transfer some of that liquid onto the dough and be matame. And they can transfer some of the liquid in their beaks. So actually, the brice over there, there's Mishnayis about it, and the Sephardis, there's brice about it, and it draws all kinds of distinctions between how far away are the chickens from the dough, is there enough room in between for them to dry off their beaks first? We're not getting into that right now. We're assuming they're close enough that they may well have drunk from the drinks that are tame and now gone and pecked at the dough. So nimsu nikurim ve'isa. So you find peckings in the dough, showing that the tanagolim pecked at it. Toiling. Then we have to assume this dough is suffix tamei. They may have drunk from the mashkin tmeim, and again, while they still have water or whatever it is in their beaks, gone and pecked at the dough. Therefore, la'ichlin la'isofin. You can't eat the dough. You can't burn it either. Now, the point is, it's
truma.
Maybe it's tahor, so therefore you can't burn it. You can't eat it, so maybe it's tamei. Now, Rashi points out, the point is, since the braisa is saying that shnei dvarim, that these two dinim have the same kind of status, and the second one, the braisa, clearly says toilin, then obviously in the first one, the case of the chinek, is also toilin. Again, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. So now, returning to this case of the chickens and the water, now this that we're talking about, that we're concerned that the chickens may have drunk from the liquid and then pecked at the dough, is only if it's white or colorless liquid. For example, water. But let's say, for example, it's red liquid like wine. No, you don't have to worry because if the chickens had drunk from it and then while their beaks were still wet from the wine, pecked at the dough, maybe a deer, you would know it because you'd see red marks on the dough. Martha says, why? Says who? Maybe they still had a little bit of wine on their beak. they pecked at the dough, and the wine got absorbed into the dough, and you don't see it. So the dough taka became tome, but you wouldn't notice it.
If the wine gets absorbed by the dough.
Yeah, that's what we're asking. Rabbi Yochanan said, you should know. That's true. Dover zeh shama beribi. You should know beribi, which means gadol hador, meaning Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, heard this teaching from his rebbeim. Upirusha lo shama, but he did not hear the explanation that it's true. There is this distinction between white and clear liquid, but between white or clear versus red liquid. But there's a further distinction we have to make. Lo shanu elav mashkin slulin. This is only talking about that you have a problem when the liquids are clear in the clear enough shabaya shaltinik nikava that you would be able to see the reflection of a child or of anybody in the liquid. So, meaning in other words, according to Rashi, it comes out basically there's what we're saying is like this: with white liquids, with white or clear liquids, it doesn't matter whether they're clear or whether they're cloudy liquids. With red liquids, within red liquids itself, there's a difference whether they are clear. That, for example, it's a clear red liquid, like a clear wine. So therefore, you would be able to see a reflection in it. That kind, yes, there is a concern that the chickens may have drunk from it and pecked at the dough and it got absorbed into the dough and you don't see any residue of it, but it's there. But if it's cloudy liquid, then no. If it's red and cloudy, then if the chicken had any of it in its beak when it pecked at the dough, you would see some remnant of it on the surface.
As opposed to red and clear.
So therefore, according to Rashi, it comes out. If it's a clear liquid, it doesn't matter. Like if it's water, for example, it doesn't matter. If it's a red liquid, then you have to distinguish between clear and cloud. The Rambam learns differently. The Rambam learns that it's not a question of white versus red. But in other words, Rashi learns that Rabbi Yochanan is not arguing under Shlossi, under Rabbi Yochanan, maybe. It's a cloud. The Rambam learns that he actually argues with him. That doesn't matter what the difference is, not white or red, the difference is clear or cloudy. So regardless of the color, if it's clear, we have a problem. If it's cloudy, we have no problem. Even if it's a whitish liquid, like milk or whatever, if it's cloudy, no problem. So again, you'd see some residue of it on the surface.
Can't say it.
I don't know. Clear enough. Well, we said clear enough that you could see a reflection in it. Maybe the reason, by the way, why I mentioned the reflection of a child is because a child has a smaller face than an adult. You don't need as large a puddle of liquid or whatever in order to see it. Okay. Now we're going to get on to this Mishnah and the next two are almost till the end of the paragraph. We're going to be talking about a whole new topic. This is the topic of Yichud. We're going to talk about in the Gemara where we know the concept is. Now, really, we have to talk about there's two kinds of yichud. What we're going to be talking about in the Mishnah and for the most part in the Gemara is going to be about yichud with arayis, a yichud with a woman who is actually also to you, most close relatives, for example, an eshes, etc. Then there's a whole different type of yichud, which is yichud pnuya, being alone with a pnuya, with an unmarried girl, where there's an isur d'oraita according to the Rambam of loyti yifdesha. But the issue of yichud with arayas, we're going to talk about in the Gemara. We have a basis for it in the Pasuk, and Rishonim have a lot of discussion whether the Gemara means it's actually daraisa, or maybe it's still only midrabanan, and the Pasuk is only an asmakta. Your sister, wait, we'll get to. We'll get to really close.
Who makes it ice yichud? An older man.
Hold on. We're going to get to the Mishnah. It's going to talk about how many people you need to wait. But as far as Yichud Pnuya, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that is definitely Dirabbanan. That Zeder was made by David HaMelech Beisdin. After the whole story of Amnon and Tamar, where, by the way, Amnon and Tamar were biologically half-brother and half-sister because they were both David's children. However, Tamar was not considered Lahalacha, David's daughter, because she was born from a Yifas Toyar. Therefore, Lahalacha, she was considered like a Viyaris. So in fact, the Pasuk says, right, Tamar, yeah. So in fact, right before what happened over there, Amnon was had a lust for her. His friend gives him a suggestion: pretend you're sick and have her come to feed you some food. And he does that. He does that.
Someone who's sick, could he be a second person to break up the yichud?
If he's able to be a shomer, maybe, I don't know.
If a woman is tending someone who's sick,
yeah,
there's no problem.
There may well be. No, okay, wait. Oh, wait, listen. So he pretended to be sick. She came to make him some pancakes or whatever and serve them to him. He gets her alone in the room and then starts trying to violate her. In the course of it, she tells him, and don't do that. Instead, if you want me, ask David HaMelech. He'll let me marry you because we're not considered related to halacha. He didn't care. He raped her anyhow. Afterwards, the pasuk continues, he hated her even more. That's the classic thing in this coming week's Pirkei Avos. Avashit Lo Yibadav. Yeah, classic thing. In Pirkei Avos says, Avashit Lo Yibadav, love dependent on something. Bottle Dover, once the thing is over, Vitela Ava, then love is gone also. He sends her away in disgrace. Akitzer, her brother, Avshalom, ends up 2 years later, he assassinates Amnon, and then things develop from there. Anyway, the point is, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, after that, David and his Beis Din made a gzera against Yichud with a Penuya. So to answer your question, Rapashlis, even if a woman is taking care of a Chola, Lechora, I'll tell you, there is a bit of...
I wanted to ask the other way around.
Yeah.
But I got this answer from the story.
Yeah.
My question was, chayla is being tended to by not a penuria,
mm-hmm.
by a
nation fish, what's that?
Zohar, which is young,
yeah,
which is body, and then the chayla's granddaughter walks in.
Fine, you have two men, and you have one.
Is the chayla considered
a man? I see. Okay, it's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Okay, anyway, let's start learning the Gemara. Let's start learning the Mishnah and the Gemara, and as we go through, we'll see various cases. As far as a halacha like that, I don't know, actually. It's a good question. Maybe he is.
What's the reason that you need two? That one will tell? Well, then he can tell. That one is afraid of the other?
Okay. I mean, Rashi says Shra'echa Bosh Mechaber, that one is embarrassed of the other. So maybe, I don't know. We'll see in the Gemara anyway that even two men with one woman is not such a simple thing. They need to be kshedim, not prutim. So wait. Mishnah starts off. Well, Yisiachad Adam Im Shtei Nashim. A man is not allowed to be alone with two women. Because, as the Gemara will say, Nashim Dites and Kalis, women are very easily suggestible, and therefore he may convince both of them to be Mizana with him. One is not necessarily going to be afraid of the other. But one woman can be alone with two men, because one will be embarrassed to the other. Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon says that one man can even be alone with two women if his wife is with him. Maybe. I don't know. Tosfos mentions a different girsa. Tosfos mentions a different possible girsa that what Reb Shimon is saying is when is it also to be alone with two women is only if Ishta Imo. If Ishta Imo, then you're allowed to even be with one other woman. So okay, that's the point of Tosfos' girsa. It sounds like the standard girsa is not like that, but he's still saying you need two other women besides the wife.
To be what?
In order for it not to be Yichud. And he continues, V'yoshen imayim b'pundiki, and in that case, if his wife is with him, he can sleep in a room alone with them in an inn, because his wife will guard him from being a Zanah.
But is the problem?
The case is that he has his wife with him, as well as two other women. Then we're saying that it's fine because Ishtim Eshamarta, his wife will prevent him from eating. So you're asking, is it Mitzad Nusr, is it Mitzad Hira Avera? The truth is, different posts can talk about the issue. Is it really because of his Nusr or not? Not so much as a matter of Hira Avera, but is it because of a Geder against Nus, or is it that it's an Isser of its own, it's an independent Isser of its own to be in Yichud? Okay.
What if he has two wives? With it.
Then fine. Okay, then I continues the Mishnah. A man can be alone together with his mother or his daughter because a normal person does not have a taiva for them. The Yoshin Imam Bakirovval, so he could even sleep together with them with skin to skin contact. When a boy is young, he can sleep together with his mother in the same bed, in the same way a girl with her father. But when they become older, which we'll talk on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, where what's considered older, Zu Yashani Maksusa Vizay Yashan Maksusa, then each one has to sleep in their own clothes. They can still, it sounds like they can still be in the same bed, they just, they've also to be wearing pajamas.
Which son didn't sleep with his mother?
Yeah. We're not talking about a baby. We're talking about even older. Wait.
You're fabulous.
We'll learn tomorrow about the details. Right? Now, by the way, you asked me, one of you was asking, what about being in Yichud with one sister? Actually, what it says in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions the exception over here. A mother with a son, a father with a daughter, and some post-Gimel that you were asking about a sister. Some post-Gimel also talk about maybe grandparents and grandchildren. Sisters and brothers, it's a very weak heter for. I think what it says in Shulchan Aruch is they can live together in the same house for up to 30 days, but not more than that. But not more than that. So short periods of yichud maybe.
A married sister with a brother. Married.
We're going to talk about. Wait, we're going to get to in the Gemara the case of Baila Ba'ir. That's a whole different matter. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But she's not.
I think that since she's a sister, even if she's married and she's the other, but because of the closeness of the kulva, he can't stay with her more than 30 days.
So that the meitaka not be a difference whether she's married or not. That's true. Yeah. Okay. You must have my time. That's what's the reason for this whole idea? I think what the poskim say is actually that these dinim apply primarily from when they're. Well, we'll talk about in the Gemara tomorrow when we get to. No, hold on. The Gemara is going to talk about tomorrow. We're going to learn a lot of these details in the Gemara. We're going to talk about, for example, the age when a child is able to be a shomer, when they're old enough for to know about Bia, but to not get involved in it. But I think the age for Yichud is the usual age. I mean, for a boy, Pashtus, it would be from 9 years old. For a girl, I'm not sure. Yeah. Okay, my time, huh? What's the reason for this thing that we say not even together with two women? Tanav Velio, however, Noshim, Dice and Kala, and because women, Dice and Kala, they're very easily suggestible. So like we said, he might be able to seduce them. That means, in other words, they're easier to convince. They're more easily.
Easier for them to keep it between themselves.
Yeah. Okay. Menon immediately. Where do we know this whole concept of Yichud from? Remez liyichud menat Torah minyai. Where is there a remez in the Torah to the concept of Yichud? Shenemar, the pasuk says, ki yisischa chicha benimach. The Torah starts off that if your brother, the son of your mother, tries to talk you into worshiping Avodah Zarah, then don't listen to him. Now you have to ask, chi ben ein meisis, ben ov ein meisis. Why does the Torah specifically mention the son of your mother? What, the son of your father, your brother from your father's side, wouldn't be likely to be meisis? Elo loy malach, no, it comes to give you a remez. Ben misyachad im imay, by mentioning together a son and a mother, teaches us that a son is allowed to be in yichud with his mother. But he's not allowed to be together with any of the other arayim. By mentioning mother and son, that's to exclude all the others. But the Pnei Yeshua talks about that actually. The Gemara may actually be deriving it not so much from that, but from the fact that Pasuk lists a whole bunch of relatives. But for example, the Pasuk does not mention a sister. The Pasuk does not mention the case where a man's sister tries to be mace with him. Why? Because we're saying that a man and a sister, there's restrictions on them being together. And the same thing with most other, and the same thing with the other arayas.
So the fact that this is arayas should be enough. We don't need anything else.
The arayas is that you're not allowed to have relations with them. This, that you're not allowed to be in yichud with them, we learn from this Rambam. No, what kind of kavachon?
No,
okay, the Gemara has
talked about it.
No. So that's the Gemara. Pashtid is Krav Ma'itziv. What is the Pshat that the Pasuk talking about? In Pshat, why indeed does the Pasuk mention in connection with Meisis only a brother from the mother's side? Amar Abaye, because Loi Mibaya, because the Torah wants to tell us, like, needless to say, Loi Mibaya Ben Av, needless to say, if your brother from your father's side tries to be Meisis with you, you would argue, of course, you shouldn't listen to him. Desanile, because he naturally hates you. He naturally is a rival of yours because you both stand to inherit your father's property one day, and therefore, if he can get you out of the way, he stands to get to inherit more. So therefore, you would argue that, sure, you could assume that he's going to give you bad advice. Don't listen to him. El Afil Ben Aim. But you could argue that a brother from your mother's side, Deloy Sanile, he doesn't have anything against you, because after all, you're not his rival for Yerusha. He'll end up inheriting from his mother, and you'll inherit from your mother, and you don't have a father in common after all. you would think maybe you should listen to him. Maybe he has your best interest in mind. Kamash Malon, and that is why the pasuk has to tell you don't listen to, even to him.
So from the same father, you would think that
you would think that you shouldn't, but you would think from the same mother. Because Yerusha. Name money can do strange things. What age are we talking about? We're talking about they could be grown ups, but they're still brothers, and the brothers can still be close together after they're grown ups. Name a masnit and deloika abashol. Okay, should we say that our Mishnah that said that one man cannot be in yichud with two women does not go like abashol? The Tanya, we learn in a b'daisa, kol shloshim yayim, if a baby, Rahman al-Aslan, dies during the first 30 days after birth, you don't need a full-fledged levaya for him. Yotze b'cheik, he's just brought out to be buried in the lack, meaning the baby is carried in the arms, you don't need an ordering for him. The nikba, we learned this in Mount Cotton, couple of years back, actually, and he can be buried just by one woman and two men, but not by one man and two women because of Yehud. No, because when they're going out to the Beit HaKvaros is far away from the city, so they're it's going to be in private over there. They're not having a whole funeral. It's just those three. And Abishol says, no, Afi Yishachar Shtei Noshim, that even one man and two women. So he seems to be disagreeing with our Mishnah. Amar says, no, Afi Lutema Abishol. No, you could answer that the Mishnah still goes according to Abishol, because you could argue the Shas Aninus Tavu Yitzre, at a time of Aninus like that, at a time when they're mourning, your Yitzhahara is broken. It's less likely there's going to be his nurse at a time like that. V'Rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan answer to that? They would say, Sabri Lucky Rabbi Yitzchak. Yeah, but they hold like what Rabbi Yitzchak said. The Amr of Yitzchak, that Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, even when a person is an Avelus. The Pasuk says in Eicha, Mayis Onen Odem Chai, Mayis Onen means Meloshen Aninus, what good does Aninus do for a living man? Gever Achatav, you still have to be in control, Gever, like be mighty over your Avelus. Meaning, even at a time of Aninus, a person's Yitzhahara may overpower him and you need to be careful against it. Meaning, even in a person's aninus, his yetzahara still tries to overpower him. So even at a time like that, you need to be careful about yichud. But Abishol, what would Abishol answer to that? He would say, no, that's not what the pasuk means. No, that pasuk has a different meaning. It means that it's talking about a person who complains about how the Eibishta runs the world, about the Eibishta's justice. But hafakama, what the pasuk means on this? My Yisraim al Midosav means my Yisoinen, not Meloshen Aninus, like we said, but Meloshen complaining. It's a similar idea. I mean, like mourning, complaining, whatever. Why should a person complain al Midosav about the Midos of the Eibishter, how he's treating him? V'chi Gever Achatav. Has he overpowered his Averus? Has he not done any Averus that he thinks he's not deserving of anything? Dayet Chaim Shenasakula. You should be happy with the fact that the Eibishter keeps him alive. So therefore,
therefore,
Abishol says the pasuk is not telling us that at a time of aninus, a person's yetzahara tries to overpower him. Therefore, there's no problem of yichud at a time like that. Rabbanan, and then Rabbanan answered back. Even so, kiahi maisa, I can tell you an actual case history that Rabbanan said. Dahi, it's of a certain woman. Dahava uvda ba'apikte, it once happened that she brought him out. What does that mean? Rashi explains like this. There was an actual case where a woman lost her baby, Rahman al-Aslan, and they went, she didn't actually lose her baby. She pretended, she took out a living baby, pretending that it was dead, in order to have a funeral. She brought with her two men, and then they went and then were mizana. So that's one. What did they do with the baby? I don't know. History doesn't record. The point is, though, that they, whatever.
Two men is not a year.
No, that's...
There were two women and one man.
You're right. So the Rabbanan are saying that even, yes, fine, we could agree with you, Tavu Yitzre, we could agree with you maybe that at a time of Aninus, your Yetzahara is broken, but who says there's actual Aninus over here? Maybe the whole thing is a play act. Maybe they faked it, yeah. Now, Tosfos brings a different explanation of a Havda Ogre about Pikta, an interesting explanation from Avinu Chananel. There was a woman who was once, her husband had died, she's standing over there and then Baklogon Zich by his grave. Nearby, there was a man, a person had been hanged by order of the government, and they had put a watchman there to guard the body. I guess they didn't want his relatives to take the body and bury him, whatever it is. So she's crying over there by her husband's grave. This watchman is standing over there watching this dead body hang. He went and seduced her. So they were mizana. Later on, the watchman goes back to his post, and he finds the body is missing. maybe the relatives came by meanwhile and then grabbed the body, whatever it is. So now he realizes he's in trouble. If the government finds out that he was derelict in his job, he's gonna be the next one on that gallows. So she took her dead husband's body out of the grave in order to hang it up instead to pretend like that was the guy who was killed. So you see, even at the time of Aninus, you see, even she's crying, she starts out crying over her husband, still, yeah, the person dead, the heart can still overpower them. Then Rashi and Tosfos both bring another gears over here, which is that the Gemara says a little differently, not Rabbanan. That when according to this, that Kiyah he maisa that he itza, Rashi and Tosfos say maybe a continuation of what Abba Shoal was saying. Abba Shoal is saying don't complain so much over the Eibishter's justice. Realize that the Eibishter knows how he's running the world. You should be grateful to be alive. Kiyah he maisa that he itza, like a story with a certain woman. The Gemara tells us in Moed Katan that there's supposed to be limits to Avelos: 3 days for crying, 7 days for the rest of Avelos, 30 days, 12 months, etc. Because you have a case of a woman over there who one of her children died and she was inconsolable about it. And people told her, you know, you've got to get over it. You have a velos and then you know. She didn't. She kept on at it. She kept on complaining, how could the Abish do this to me? Eventually, Rahman al-Aflan, another one of her children died and then another, etc. So because she was complaining about the Abish's justice. So according to that, Gilsa, if we take out the word Dahaba Uvdabapikte, we're saying, Abashol is saying, don't complain to my own and Adam Chai. Don't, a living person should not complain too much about what the Abish does. Gever Achata, what do you think? You controlled yourself, my baby. Don't be like that woman. Don't be like that woman who complained too much. And according to that, you take out the word Dahaba Uvdabapikte.
And the word Rabban.
You take out the word Rabban too, right? Daya Chaim Shanafati, like, Kiahi Maita Dahi. I'm a Simon Batek.
I want to know.